we have this mental image that the cyber threats are going to make something blow up. Mm. You know,
you're going to see Pearl Harbor is what they always talk about.
That was Richard Clark. I remember him saying that. But we see all of these things where in the movies everything is making a power station blow up or something, right? And although that's in the realm of possibilities, what we've really got are a lot of professionals, a lot of criminals internationally, and a whole lot of malware. I'm going to give you a big number. When I first started in the antivirus industry in 1990, we were getting 3 to 5 new viruses a month.
Wow.
Today, we get 250,000 a day.
Wow.
250,000 a day, each and every day, 7 days a week. And peaks over 500,000.
And I know that everything that when I'm talking to the DOD and the cyber folks, they all say, hey, these are much more sophisticated.
Very sophisticated.
Not only the number higher, more sophisticated, but also the ways that they're coming at folks is much more difficult to contain almost.
Absolutely. 92.5% of all of them, and that's not a made-up statistic, that's the real deal, are coming to us through the web, through your browser. Mm. You know, and they're also coming through email, but usually the email is connected to the web. This causes us a lot of problems. There's this huge mass of malware, and the reason there's so much of it is they're trying to break us, the antivirus industry, by making it impossible to use pattern files to detect it. Mm. Now, the flip side is everyone hates security software.
Yeah.
Okay. It's too much trouble. It slows down my system. I see it all the time.
Update it all the time.
Yeah, it's telling me about stuff that I don't want to know about. So we've actually, 5 years ago, our CEO, Eva Chen, stood up at the Waldorf Astoria in New York and said, that's it. Told a bunch of analysts and investors, that's it. We're going to go to the cloud. We're going to, instead of detecting the code, we're going to detect the internet sources of the code. Now, we still have to detect the code. Hmm. But our first line of defense has moved up to the internet cloud. And what we're doing today is we are, as you connect to a website, as you pick up an email, as you touch a file, you're talking to our services in the cloud, and they do all the analysis of that thing. And what that means is that we have no updates on the desktop. None.
Very nice.
Okay. And it's smaller, it's lighter, it's faster. And if you measure it by how well it protects you better than anything else out there. And we just got to consumer with this. We've been doing this with our business customers for some years. But yes, the threat is enormous and people hate the anti-malware software, and that's what we're doing about it.
And one of the challenges with cyber is, I think I saw the survey the other day that said people are really afraid. We're afraid that we're going to do something, like I go to Twitter the other day, and all of a sudden I've infected all sorts of machines.
Right, that whole Twitter worm thing.
It's all of a sudden a very scary place. I don't know what to do, and so it seems to me a lot of people just don't do any. The cyber people will take care of it.
Well, the bad guys are smart. The bad guys are not. We're not talking about amateurs. This is not some kid in his grandmother's attic. This is the Russian mafia.
I guess the Twitter guy was some 17-year-old in Germany or something.
That's really funny because you go to something like DEF CON, which I never miss.
Right.
And if you talk about security a lot, I would tell you should go to DEF CON because Vegas in August is just where anybody wants to be, right?
Exactly.
But because it's a giant mob. This year it was 10,000 people who were all mostly wannabe hackers. And they're looking to get into crime. That's what they think is a good idea. Mm. This is, if I were sitting in front of you, if I were Alvin Toffler sitting here, I would tell you that the rise in aberrant social behavior is predicated by an economic downturn. Mm. It's a sociological measure. But what we're seeing is we have a lot of kids who have learned a lot how to use computers and are seeing a possible thing to do where they can make some cash by getting into crime.
So, Cybersecurity Awareness Month, we're supposed to all focus on cybersecurity. What do you tell folks?
Actually, I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to get in trouble. I'm in the public-private partnership for Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to tell people is stop, think, and connect. Okay. Stop, because if it's a good idea today, it'll be a good idea tomorrow. Too many people rush into things. These are classic con game scenarios that people are responding to. You know, act now and you can get, you know, free whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, hello, I am Mobutu Sowore. I'm the brother of the president of Nigeria. These are all classic con games. So stop. Okay. Don't respond to something instantly. Practice a little impulse control. Think, are you protected? You know, is this a real thing that you're looking at? real antivirus programs don't pop up and tell you you must buy our product right now because you're infected with something. That's yeah. always fake, okay? Everything that asks you to mail it out to all of your friends is always fake. All chain letters are fake. All of them. All of them. We investigate these for a living. Go look at Snopes. Read the Snopes thing. There hasn't been a real chain letter yet, okay? Yeah. So, that you know, that should make you suspicious. So think. And then connect. We're not going to give
up. If it was real, I would have had the worst luck because I never send those things out. So I, you know, the 7 years bad luck, I think I have 1,070 years of bad luck.
Well, I'm not just talking about the bad luck. I'm talking about that there's a virus outbreak called good times that's going to make your cat turn blue.
Yeah, right.
You know, and mail this to all your friends. It's funny being in this industry all this time. I get accused of writing viruses all the time.
Yeah.
And I have this question. How do they know?
Yeah.
That was a joke, supposedly. Okay. The and the
well, the other part of that is those things have a half-life. They stick around.
Oh yeah.
The bad information manages to just continue and continue and continue. And I mean, I still get things that are from, you know, I look it up on Snopes, and it's from, you know, 2001.
The canon of disinformation.
Yeah,
they call that
incredible.
It's incredible because you get stuff like shale oil is going to replace gasoline this year. And it's like, not. It's not. We're looking at ways to, you know, go up and read about it. It's an interesting topic, but it ain't real.
Yeah.
But worse than that is we've got, you know, this pharmacy, that thing, this.
Right.
These people all want to infect you. They want to steal your credit card. They want your bank password. Perhaps they're producing industrial espionage against the country that company that you work for. Perhaps are producing international espionage. Sure and sure, we are seeing everything move to the internet. Why shouldn't that include warfare?
So stop, think,
connect,
connect.
Right.
So before you click on that icon,
right. Stop. You know, practice impulse control.
Right.
Think about it. Is it real? You know, are you protected? I don't mean go right out and buy antivirus software, although that might be a good idea. And if you do, ours is called Titanium and can be found at www.trendmicro.com. But do think, you know, are you protected? Do you have a firewall? Do you have anti-malware? Do you have anti-spyware? An all-in-one product would cover all of these things, right? But are you protected? Is it real? And then connect. If you just did that, you would be a lot safer in the long run.
Do people understand the dangers out there?
No, not at all. Actually, it's worse than that. People understand a fantasy danger. They look at the movies, you know, where the virus comes from
Die
Dr. Evil.
Right.
So it always comes with a big octopus on the screen going, boogity, 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 I'm going to get you. And in reality, these people have no intention of letting you know that they're there. They do not slow down your system. They're not interested in crashing your system. In fact, I wrote a paper about this, a research paper a couple of years ago. Most of the things people attribute to viruses are good indications that you do not have a virus. If the Chinese credit card theft gang wants to plant a keylogger on your system in a botnet, you're not going to know about it. It's not going to do anything that you can see. There are no visible symptoms. You know, so that's the nature of the world today. So, And it goes on and on and on. We could talk all year. You know, we could say, you know, beware of social networking. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And like you said, those things are hotbeds of problems.
Yeah.
You go on Facebook, you're revealing stuff about you that your analyst doesn't know. If provided, of course, that you had an analyst to begin with. But you understand.
We're in Washington, for goodness sakes.
Right. Everybody has an analyst in Washington, right?
But those Facebook and how do you deal with that? How do you be smart about that?
Well, Facebook, you're looking at through your browser, and we're protecting you.
And more and more stuff you're looking at through your browser.
Right. Well, see, that's, not, like I said, 92.5% of all malware is coming through that browser. Every time you go to a website, instantly you're sending that URL through the internet cloud to our system. I'm going to give you some more big numbers. We're taking 50 billion hits a day on this. We've just passed our 7th trillion hit of analysis with our business customers. This is going to escalate wildly now that we've got consumer customers on the same system. And if it's bad, if it's a bad URL, and it's not just a blacklist, we're making tests against these URLs. For example, if a URL is brand new, if it just shows up, we're not going to let you go there. So we come back and we block you and we say, I'm sorry, you can't click on that Facebook thing. We're not going to take you there. It comes up with a big red screen and says, we're not going to take you there. Now, if you are a smart guy and you go, well, I know this is a good site. Let's say you're a web developer and we're blocking you from your own brand new website, right? So when you, there's a button there that says, no, I understand that you've warned me, but please take me there anyway. So you click that button and you get a second warning. Okay, we're warning you. We think it's bad. You go, no, I'm sure it's good. Take me there. Okay, two things happen. We let you go there and we send one of our analysts to go look at it. We have 1,000 data analysts, 1,000 of them working in labs all over the world, and they go and chase after these things and identify these things on a continuing 24/7, 365 basis.
One of the remarkable things about the Twitter worm was there was also a certain degree of people educating each other. And so on Twitter, even, there were some smart people who were saying, hey, time out, think, stop thinking before you click, because there is a danger out there that often will be fake stuff, but it seemed like in this particular instance, there was almost a sharing of knowledge.
There is, and there is a huge sharing of knowledge. The internet's a fantastic thing. My mother was a librarian, and I worked my way through college in libraries, and having put thousands and probably millions of books back on the shelf in Dewey Decimal and, you know, Library of Congress, nor ASBN, nor numbers, and all, you know, shelving all of those books, that doesn't happen to the extent that it used to. You just look stuff up. You just Google it up.
Right.
And it's right there at your fingertips. We live in a world where knowledge has become free. You can just get it. You want to know it, you have to know how to look it up. You need a little bit of skill on your side, but you can find out anything you want to know, including your credit card number. And I just saw a report from somebody that said that there's so many stolen credit cards that you can buy one for $1.50 on the internet. You can buy a stolen credit card for $1.50. If you want the corroborating data, the social security number and stuff, make that $3.
Right.
And you can, and the site that sells them to you on the criminal underground of the internet will take credit card numbers. Now, who is going to use their credit card number?
And they want you to mention that there's a deal for folks.
Right. Okay, so we've released this new product. It's called Titanium. It's smaller, it's lighter, it's faster, it protects you better than ever before, and you can get it for free. We're giving away 1,000 copies. We're giving away 3 Dream systems, including a Dream gaming system, a Dream business system, and a Dream home system. And you can find that all out at www.trendmicro.com/free.
There you go. You've done this before, haven't you?
I do this for a living, full time, but I love it, and I love getting out and talking to people about this, because it's like we've all moved into a science fiction novel. If you would go back 20 years and tell people that criminals from all over the world could steal people's bank accounts to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars a year, they would not believe you. Yeah. They would think that you were... Today, many people don't believe it, but believe it. It's there. It's real.
Whenever I'm out speaking to folks, I always pull up old clips of Star Trek, and the iPhone, not that different than the old Star Trek communicators, for goodness sakes.
And they don't flip open anymore.
Yeah, they don't flip open.
Right.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't made that case, actually.
Oh, I have one.
There you go.
Right.
But also, that
Ish
that
benign geek, in right. case that wasn't obvious.
But that world didn't have any of the bad guys in there. There were no bad guys there.
What about
there.
The Klingons?
That's true. But they never send that.
What
malicious.
About the Borg?
There you go.
Right. The Borg were bad guys.
All right. You really are showing your nerd qualities
I
now.
I am not the king of geeks, but I'm at least a Duke or Earl.
There you go.
Okay, watch out. Cybersecurity Month is coming. There is a big public-private partnership to do education about that, and we will be doing big announcements and releases early in the month of October.
Perfect. Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
Sure. That again was www.trendmicro.com. No, if you want to know more about this, go to whoever your security company is, or you can come to us. Okay, I don't care. Go to your security company and read the blog from your security company. This world changes so fast that my job is mostly homework. My job is mostly studying what's new.
And amazing how, I mean, astronomical.
Right. This is flooding us with new information. It's like drinking from the fire hose. So, go out and spend a half hour. Take a look at it, read through it, and I can guarantee you're going to go, what? Huh? Really?
Yeah. Right.
There is a strong indication.
It will be great.
There is a strong indication that Stuxnet, which is the virus that was out last week, was trying to shut down the Iranian nuclear reactor. This is a big deal. This is living in the science fiction world.
Yeah.
So, we don't know if that was us or them or somebody else pretending to be us or them or what. You know, we don't know what is what here. And, the people I know who are the insiders of this industry, they just guess about stuff like that. We don't have time to get to the why. We're too busy dealing with the how. So stay safe out there.